The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Real Pod is brought to you by our good friends at Nando's. They've got restaurants across Aotearoa, and if you order through the Nando's app, you can collect Peri Perks points to redeem for delicious rewards. Hit nandos.co.nz to learn more and start earning.
Just something to do a good TikTok to. Because you know that TikTok that Court of Oiv one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
How does it go? Sorry, Jane.
No, don't put that in the cold open, please.
Now you just ensured that it's the cold open. Congratulations.
Oh. Kia ora koutou, welcome along to The Real Pod. It's your real life, your real news, your really good time. My name is Jane Yee. I'm joined by Duncan Grieve. Kia ora, Duncan.
Kia ora, Jane. You're really missing your reality TV, I think. I was kind of relieved when the 3-4 episode weekly slog was over, even though it represented the end of Celebrity Treasure Island. But now I feel like I missed that sort of anchor in my week.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still on Bake Off, though it's coming to an end, the finals this week. But I tell you what filled the gap nicely was UK Bake Off. Sorry, the Great British Bake Off is what it's called. Who calls it UK Bake Off? It's ridiculous. Also, welcome Tiai here, who is producing today. Tiai here, everyone loves your smooth voice, so feel free to just pop in any time and do an ad.
I have to be restrained. You know, it's a commodity and I want to keep people keen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to look after those vocal cords. Don't overexercise them, eh?
Can I suggest that at some point we get Tiai here to voice an ad for his own voice? As voice talent?
Anytime he talks, it's an ad.
Like a kind of your ad here, but the podcast version.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Write that one down, someone. Okay, got some housekeeping to do, and it's a bloody pleasure to do this housekeeping. We've brought to you by Nando's.
It's not housekeeping when it's like us kind of on our knees doing the We're Not Worthy Wayne's World to the almighty food god that is Nando's. That's housekeeping is facebook.com/groups/therealpod. Like, this is something else.
/realpod corner.
So I'm just doing like a Media Watch critique of your intro there.
Wow, this whole podcast is very meta in the first few minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
But anyway, yes, Nando's to celebrate the end of lockdown and mostly to celebrate Christmas. Nando's are running their famed Can for Chips initiative. So it started yesterday. So you can head into your local Nando's with a can of non-perishable food and they will swap it for some regular Peri Peri chips, which are chef's kiss, delicious. And all the cans are being donated to local food rescue partners. They're different ones in each region, but they're all very, very worthy causes. So tell all your mates, get your cans together, take them in. It's been a pretty rough few months and stocks are pretty low. So take your cans and get some chips. It's great for everybody.
Mm. It's also just, again, Nando's doing that. They've been open about 10 minutes. Just a beautiful thing from a beautiful organisation. I've had delivery Nando's, which is good on almost everything, but the Peri Peri chips don't transport as well as some of their other items. And I think the incentive to actually get in store, swap that can for some fresh ones. Very, very
strong. Just to be clear, that's true of all fries from all outlets. It's not particular to Nando's. And can I just say, actually, I had Nando's this week also have started this thing where if you order delivery, you go in the draw to win one of 1,000 golden tickets. And you, so you order through your Nando's app. So delivery is now available officially through your Nando's app. I did this. I got a voucher. I scratched it. I got $100 worth of food. And so thinking when I went to like redeem it, I was like, do I take the chance that the voucher is one use only and order everything? Like, do I risk ordering just like what I need today? And you know, I didn't know whether or not there was going to be any left over, like if it was held in credit. What do you think I did?
I think you went over the top.
I ordered $99 worth of Nando's.
That's right. That's right. Because you're Jane Eyre. That's how you live.
And I feasted on it for days and it was glorious. Honestly, so amazing. And so, yeah, make sure you do some Nando's delivery this week. You might end up like me gorging. And I have to say, my peri-peri chips travelled beautifully, Duncan.
I'm not saying that they don't. They're like an incredibly strong foodstuff. They're just different and better.
There's a lot of variables
involved.
Them,
you know what I mean?
There's a lot of variables involved if you're tracking them from, you know, if the driver's taking a long time, you know, they can get fault. So there's a lot of things that are at play. But a couple of hacks. Number one, I have seen someone in the office reheating their chips in the sandwich press at work before. So I haven't tried that myself because I don't have a sandwich press.
Who was that?
Who do you think it was?
Simon Day?
Yes.
Yeah. Genius.
And also, cheesy garlic bread is bloody good and microwaved for like 15 seconds the next day.
Cheesy garlic bread might be improved by the travel.
Yeah, it's actually quite nice cold, but if you're wanting to heat it through, also it's like a brand new one. So there's just some hot tips. You've already done our socials more or less. Later on in the show, I attempted a bake-off technical challenge, so I'll talk to that in real life. And also, Duncan went to 3 restaurants. Yes, absolutely went bonkers. Green light, go, except for it was red light, 3 restaurants. Anyway, that's coming up later in real life. For now, let's get into the real news. Love this. I know it's an international story, Duncan, but it's real pod all over it, right? I'll give you the headline. An English hospital calls the bomb squad after man gets explosive stuck in his bum. I feel like that's most of what you need to know. Do you have any questions? Any questions from the floor on this one?
I don't. I actually first read about this story on the Herald, and there was a lot of. I mean, it's basically just a gift for headline writers and writers of like fast twitch commodity news. You can just really get all of your puns out there in one go.
So apparently he slipped and fell. He's a collector of military bits and bobs, and he slipped and fell. Just a really unfortunate event.
It happens.
At once. And when he turned up at the A&E, the Ministry of Defence had to get involved to make sure that it wasn't a live situation. Luckily, it wasn't. Luckily for everyone. This story could have been very different.
This feels like a story that might not be true at all.
It does. It really does.
Like as soon as it first gets reported anywhere, there is no incentive to fact check or to follow it down to...
Why would you? Why would you want to expose it as fake when you can have some fun with it?
You want to live in a world where this kind of thing goes on. And we, to be fair, we do. But yeah, the there could be a whole, you know, production line of just this genre of news story, and there would be no incentive for anyone to actually discover whether any of it properly happened, because it's just kind of joyful that it exists.
In Matt Chisholm news, he's become like the Briscoe's lady in that I think he just pops up to do Treasure Island, right? And then he disappears back because he famously went out of the public eye to go live rurally. He talked a bit about mental health issues that he in his book and so on. And so he's got some lovely sheep in that. But, of course, he can't resist doing Treasure Island, so he remains in the spotlight for that. But, like, the Briscoe's lady, she just, from urban legend has it, she just, like, flies up, does a block record of a bunch of ads and then flies back to her wherever and just lives a lovely life. Honestly, the dream. Mm. I want to be Briscoe's lady or Matt Chisholm, one or t'other. Happy to be either.
Yeah, there's something about when you're just transcendentally famous for a very specific thing that no one else could possibly do. The role is unimaginable without you. And so you get to live that best of both worlds, kind of out of the public eye, you know, idyllic farm life, but also get to get the sort of the money and the fun of, I mean, I don't know about shooting Briscoe's ads for Rod Duke. That might not be as fun. But certainly the Chizzo thing, I feel like he gets the best part of being a celebrity whilst and the best part of being a normie.
Yeah, totally. And he's anyway, so he's got his sheep and he's just sold his first ram from his Central Otago stud farm. And the ram was called Blair. And if you were hoping to buy a ram called Blair, too late. Someone's already
How much? How much pirate gold did he get for it, do you know?
Oh, it depends if Lance Savali was in there faking bids. well, do we know his daughter's name, Bree? We did know that. We've talked about that, haven't we?
I don't have perfect recall of everything we talked about, but it feels like the kind of thing we'd have talked about. And it feels like a sweet tribute to it. What age is she?
I think she's a baby.
Right. And so it's plausibly his co-host.
I would suggest that it's probably not, but there does have to be that. I mean, it could be a family name or something, but as I said, then you have that conversation of everyone's going to think that we've named her after Bree.
I just like to think they've got a beautiful relationship and that it was the tribute.
I think to solve it, they should have spelt it like the cheese.
Yes. Which that also, like, Bree Larson is spelt in the cheese style, isn't she?
Delicious.
Mm.
If a bit basic, bitch, you know. And other sheep news, really real sheep news. Canterbury sheep Bert has millions of TikTok views. Now, so we've got Blair the ram and Bert the sheep. It's a real bee sheep theme this week. He lives on the Banks Peninsula farm, became famous after his owner, Naomi Abraham, started posting videos of him during lockdown last year. And his TikTok profile includes videos of him frolicking through the house, sleeping on the couch in front of the fire, and getting into the neighbour's rose garden. Reminiscent of one late Sir Peabody Esquire, rest in peace, little pony, just hanging out in the house.
I don't remember Sir Peabody. Can I have some backstory there?
Are you kidding me?
No.
The tiny horse?
Oh, my God. I just remember the tiny horse. That was actually a great episode, that one.
That's extremely disrespectful, by the way.
Did we put that up for the podcast awards?
We did. Yeah, that was in the reel.
That's probably how come we got that second place.
It's such a shame he died, because we could have exploited that content for forever and a day, and now no more awards for us, especially now that some jokers have started up some comedy podcast network. We're not going to have a look in next year, are we?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Reality TV recap in real life in New Zealand podcast category.
Yeah, they need to get much more micro.
Okay. Back overseas now to Denmark, where there was a big snowstorm. That's not that surprising. Some people got snowed in. Again, not that surprising. But in this cute story, some workers and shoppers in a Denmark IKEA got snowed in. So they all slept over in the store, had some yum food to eat. There were about 30 people hunkering down for the night, and the store manager wandered around singing songs to them to get them off to sleep.
It's very Danish.
I'd love to be part of this.
Yeah. Did you read there was a related story about a pub in, I think, Northern England?
Yes.
Where Oasis were playing. I love the whole tribute band name scene. Yeah, I think feel like when Oasis were really, really massive in the UK, they were so big that their tribute bands were like also in the back of the NME, and Oasis kind of had a certain kind of parallel fame as a result. And I was pleased to hear that they were still hacking away pub venues, but, you know, so be it. But yeah, the idea that – so basically they got snowed in for like 3 nights and in a pub, like – honestly, that kind of sounds like the dream.
It's amazing. You're likely there with your mates.
Yeah.
You know? You've got beer on tap.
You've got a lot of beer on tap. You've got Oasis there to smash out the hits. I assume they'd played a nightly set. There were some patrons who had booked rooms, which is even better, right? Because like, then you can...
Right, you've got somewhere to go sleep.
Yeah, everyone else had to sort of hunker down in the main area, which, you know... would have been a bit less of me. It's more of the IKEA kind of situation. Those things are so big, you'd probably still get some privacy. But yeah, it feels like, I mean, obviously climate change, bad, but some quite cute stuff coming out of it at the moment, which, you know, you just got to take it where you can get it.
Well, the thing is, climate change is happening. It doesn't mean we have to stop trying to do what we can to prevent it escalating at such a rate. But when there are silver linings of a bad situation, I think we should acknowledge them. We're allowed to talk about them. Also, there is, I'm like racking my brain trying to think of a better situation to be stuck in. And I honestly, assuming that I'm one of the people who booked a room, can't think of a better one. I thought IKEA was pretty good. You've got many beds to choose from. You've got old mate singing you a lullaby.
And the IKEA food is pretty delish.
But the IKEA food, the meatballs
are
lovely. And the cinnamon buns, yum, yum.
But I still think the pub is better. Like
I think
pub
the
in England?
Better.
Come on. Roaring fire, no oasis, your fave.
Alrighty, we're going to take a quick break. We will return with some real life. That's the wrong song, isn't it? Can't sing.
Yeah.
Can you sing it? I hear on the spot, the real life.
Oh, it's heavily auto-tuned. It wouldn't be the same.
Chicken. Mm. All right, back soon.
Scientists are leading the conversations about the future of Aotearoa and the biggest challenges of our time, our land, ocean and climate, our physical and mental well-being, our food health. It's never been more important to understand science. At the University of Otago, you'll study alongside world-renowned experts and researchers. Explore your postgraduate options now. He heringa tangata, he tūhura kōrero. Find out more at otago.ac.nz/pgsciences.
When you choose to invest, your money has power. Avoiding companies that finance weapons production or ignore climate change is important. But impact investing goes beyond just avoiding harmful behaviours. It's an opportunity to invest in companies that are actually improving the world. Invest in a better future with the Harbour Sustainable Impact Fund. Grow your wealth and make a positive impact on the world. This is not personalised advice. A disclaimer and the product disclosure statement for Harbour Investment Funds issued by Harbour Asset Management is available at harbourasset.co.nz.
We're in the traffic lights. How's it working out for you, Duncan?
Okay, so I love it. I love it a lot, but also I went too hard and I got a bit overwhelmed and have to take a break from public life.
Go to the farm, hang out with the
sheep.
Yeah,
I just need to go see Blair, polish his horns. So basically what happened was I went out for lunch on the Friday. And then I went to a friend's 40th on the Friday evening. Then I had a very long-standing booking that just happened to come good on a Saturday. And then same with a family dinner at a restaurant on the Sunday. And it was just – and a kid's birthday party on the Saturday. And it was just so much public interaction that it kind of – by the end of it, I was just sort of – I was exhausted. But also, just gotten used to sort of portion control and not drinking too much wine, all kinds of stuff, all the stuff that restaurants strongly encourage you to not do. These are bougie problems, I tell you what. I love it, but I need to kind of, I think I needed to ease back into it in a way that I absolutely did not. How is it for you, Jane?
Much the same. I haven't been to any eating establishments. I did go to a family birthday party.
Oh yeah.
On the weekend, which was nice. So blessing and a curse, being able to see my family again. You know how it goes.
I do.
There were certainly parts of lockdown that were like, oh shucks, can't see you, miss you. You know. But here we are, and that's kind of been. I'm scared. I'm definitely going to ease in. I'm scared because not so much because I think I'm going to catch COVID, though that's always in the background of your mind, isn't it? I'm just scared of people. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I'm mostly scared of making a giant fecking idiot of myself as well. I returned a lawnmower last week and I had to return it to a Mitre 10 Mega and I couldn't get a park right outside. And so I looked like a lunatic.
I looked like I was mowing
the fecking car park.
Then you buried the lead. This should have been our open.
So, that's how traffic lights are going for me.
Right. I mean, to be honest, I feel like, and I also went to the pub. Like, I did a lot. The thing is, the people who were out that first weekend weren't people like you. Like, obviously, they self-select as being kind of cautious about the re-engagement. And so it was all kind of hypersocial people who had been kind of restrained for a long period of time and were ready to go. Like, our neighbours had like a big old house party. There was like broken, and I think it was crate day on Saturday. There was like broken DB bottles outside. I think some people definitely went too ham. I wasn't on that side, but there was definitely like a particular energy in the air. What was your weekend one like?
I buggered off with my partner to the Waitakere's and went glamping. So,
that's a move.
Yeah.
Really nice.
And a mode.
It was huge. It was about as antisocial as we could be.
Right. What else is happening? Oh, house party up the way at my house too. That is the one thing I have to say was quite nice is that there's a place nearby. They party regularly, obviously not been during lockdown and back into it weekend one. And it was really nice to just hear people having a good time.
Yeah, I have to say that I liked it too. I mean, the broken DB swappers aside, just seeing people like dressed up, walking down the driveway, super excited. There's just something about seeing these like elements of normalcy returning. And I think as well, because you had that like run of double digit case numbers, the fact that it's at a time of year when you're able to hang out much more safely and outdoors, and then when you're inside, you know, everywhere I went was doing the vaccine passes properly, and it feels like we just might have a shot at evading the bad times that have touching wood here that have accompanied these moments internationally.
I'm extremely confident that as soon as I need to use my vaccine pass for the first time, I'm going to fumble and drop my phone and going to need to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there and I'll update you.
You're going to real pot it.
I'm going to real pot it.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
What I didn't do was real pot my hair appointment. I managed, just an update from last week, I managed to get a hair appointment on Christmas Eve. I've got my kids on Christmas Eve. They are not at school. They're in my sole care. I don't care. I don't know what I'm going to do.
What time is your hair appointment?
It's in the morning time.
Well, the office will be open. Just come drop them off with us.
Oh, they haven't got vaccine passes. It's just a logistical nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Look, no matter what, I'm getting my hair done.
Well, I'm very happy for you, Jane.
Thank you. Yeah. So, grey's be gone. Just trying to decide whether I get my fringe back or just keep growing it out now.
Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning growing it out because I just can't be bothered with the maintenance, you know? Anyway, I baked chocolate fondants.
Well, chocolate fondants. I thought fondant was a thing that went over a cake.
That's a type of icing, but also you can get these chocolate fondants, which like you might know them as like lava cakes. They're like little individual portions, and when you stick your spoon in, all the
it oozes out.
Ooze out.
That sounds real yum.
Unctuous. Is Sue Fleischel has not said one time.
Really? She's on like strike. I wonder if there's a...
Someone said something to her, clearly. Anyway, this was a tech challenge on Bake Off last week and I couldn't find Brett Schneider's recipe, so I went with a Gordon Ramsay or something. And I was supremely confident that I would be fine. Was it a triumph or was it a disaster, Duncan?
I feel like what I really think is that it was basically a triumph, but that your standards are so exacting that you hold yourself to that you're going to consider it a disaster.
What do you think happens if you have a good fondant?
assume it's unctuous and oozing.
And standing up, right?
Well, I mean, so that was, yeah, look.
Okay,
so
I'm just showing Duncan a photo.
This is great audio content as per. What I'm looking at is a sort of, it looks delicious, but it is admittedly like a lake of sort of chocolatey goop with a little bit of sponge off to one side, maybe some cream and a couple of straws.
Yeah, and some caramel drizzle.
So that's did it start whole and then end up like that, or was that
as soon as I tipped it out of the ramekin, it just collapsed on itself. But I know exactly what I know where I went wrong.
Where did you go wrong?
Well, I forgot to put flour.
Wow.
I forgot to put flour in, and then I realised my mistake when I pulled them out of the oven. But luckily I had two more that I had put in the freezer, so I whipped them out, and they hadn't remotely frozen yet. And I cleared the goopy ones out of the ramekins and then chucked the batter in, added some flour, chucked the batter in again thinking this will work, and it didn't because, of course, all the batter from the previous one that didn't have anything to hold it solid was on the outside, so there was no fortifying thing. It did taste good.
It does look delicious.
I think it tastes exactly like a fondant would taste the moment you stick a spoon in it. It just didn't present very well. So it wasn't a complete loss, but I definitely would have been sent home, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you would. That's a real – that does look – the authenticity is that it looks exactly like someone who got sent home on Bake Off who made exactly that error.
Mm. Hey, also in crypto news, we'll just round up with my crypto update.
I really want to know more about crypto. Over the weekend, I read heaps about Web3, and now I'm sort of – I'm not
– I don't know what Web3 is.
Web3 –
but
– okay.
Do you want to, like, top line?
Well
– One sentence.
Oh, I can't do that. Basically, it's considered a potential next or is very likely to be one of the potential future visions for the internet, wherein the big platforms play less of a role and creators are compensated for, you know, so if you're whatever it is that you do online, if the people who derive value from it being the sort of users in a social media sense, they capture more of the value versus the Googles and Facebooks of this world. And crypto is a very big part of it. And I hadn't really – it had been just sort of this buzzword for me for a long time, and I finally sort of clicked and was like, oh, that feels inevitable and really challenging and interesting. So I'm not going to go on a journey. I probably am going to go on a journey, but I won't just add that as a segment the same way that we have with Jane's Crypto Corner. But tell me about how crypto's going for you.
I mean – technically a sentence because I don't think there were any full stops in there, but you did lose me at
yeah, it was a little bit of
at the very top.
A little bit of a mini monopod.
Crypto, okay. So what you're talking about sounds like the only thing I can relate it to is Silicon Valley. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Seen Silicon Valley? Is it the new internet, like on Silicon Valley?
I mean, it is considered a new internet, yeah.
Okay.
But it's not that new internet on Silicon Valley was quite different, I think.
Honestly, a great show, though, if you don't know what we're talking about. Amazing
underrated show, I reckon.
So underrated. It's so, so good. Yeah. And great for rewatching too. Okay, in crypto news, the crypto market bloody crashed, didn't it? It was a terrible time. It just went down. There was talk of regulation. I know I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Are you going to buy the dip is the big question.
I don't know. Yes, maybe. I don't know. I've been busy playing. I've finally figured out how to play this bloody game, though, and I have been playing that.
Are you earning?
But you know how last week you were like, oh, this is it. This is your new job. It definitely isn't. Like, not after the weekend. It most definitely is not, because now I am losing money hand over fist because stocks are dropping. Do you call crypto stocks?
I don't think so. Holdings, maybe?
Holding.
I think you call them stonks.
Stonks, yeah.
Stonks with an N.
Everything is just going to pieces. But yeah, it may be a good time to buy.
Are you
going to
hodl? Because they could be mooning soon. These are like crypto terms I've been learning. Hodl
Mr.
is
Hodl
a,
was
is
my it, primary school headmaster.
It's a misspelling of hold, which is like the excitement of the true believer, and that they say that they'll hodl forever. And I mean, and very genuinely, like, it's kind of perfect. Yes, you've just lost 20% of whatever you invested, but, you know, it's also
not that much, by the way.
It's a sale, you know. Well, how often do you get to buy your beloved cryptocurrencies on sale?
It's true. There's a sale happening. Okay, yeah, I might look at investing like in 0.111111. No, nope, not even 0.0000000.
So what are your holdings?
That doesn't make any sense.
So you've got some Bitcoin. What else have you got?
I don't have Bitcoin.
What have you got?
That's what I was going to say. Okay. I've got a little bit of a fleck of ETH.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of Axie shards. Not even a couple, 1 point something.
Oh, yeah. And that's the whole bit?
That's it.
I want to hear more about your portfolio.
Only less than that now.
Yeah. Well, no, the same amount. It's just they're worth less.
That's true. They're worth, yeah.
Not worth less. Right. Not worthless. Worthless.
I do not know what I'm talking about, which is patently clear.
You're on the journey.
I'm on the journey. Yeah, at least I know how to play the game, the Axie game now. That was my number one thing, was being able to figure that out.
I like this because when I used to go to the YMCA in the city, there was this program there called, as was the style of the time, hashtag never too old with a numeral two, which was targeting the, to be honest, people who are too old, wildly old people. And it's always stuck in my mind for this kind of thing. And I feel like we could, as 40-somethings, trying to kind of imagine a world where we can participate in crypto. There's a sort of a never too old kind of a vibe.
It's adorable, really, isn't it?
It's very cute watching us just fritter away money.
I hope that the crypto inclined who are listening to this are not shaking their heads and thinking we're idiots.
Well, they definitely are, but they might help out.
But hopefully they're finding an endearing side to it, you know, not just an embarrassing side. That's my eternal. That's the best I can hope for the rest of my life, pretty much, is that I can be cute but not embarrassing, or not too embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. You get on the right line of that divide.
Yeah. Okay, that's us.
That was a podcast, eh?
Yes, and we say that every time, and every time 'tis true. So once again,
one more in us, eh, for this year.
We've got one more in us. We are planning hopefully a little pop-up bonus, but we'll see how that goes. We'll let you know. But we've got one more regular rig pod in us.
Can't wait.
So we'll catch you next week. Thank you very much, Tiahe. Thank you, Duncan. Thank you to Nando's. Thank you to the Cornies. Thank you to the Spinoff members. Thank you, everyone, everywhere.
Not everyone.
Not everyone. Not the bad ones. Bye now.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.